I don't have any notes printed out today, so just bear with me if you would. I appreciate it. You know, fellas, I got to thinking, when you guys go to camp, do you take a guitar with you?
I do, usually.
Do you? Y'all get to sing any up there at camp?
Sometimes.
You got to take your notebook, and if you need a second guitar, just take another guitar. And I don't know how brother feels about electric. Of course, I don't have a problem with it.
No, he uses like electric.
Does he? Too. Well, you know what, fellas? You could even take my Taylor with you next time. And that's my baby. But I'm serious. If you two need to take it, and Miss Rachel, I hope and pray that the camp would know what they got in them boys coming up with that music. Even if they did all together with what Kevin plays. What song was that, Kevin? I done. Oh, How I Love Jesus on a piano? That's so good. Hey, Mama, you're doing a good job raising them boys. You hear me? Well, Rachel sung a song for me last week, so I thought I'd try this one this week. Oft times a day seems long, hard trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest cares. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er. Ah, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven. A harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. Amen for that. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. There's coming a day when we get to see Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? There was one other little song that come to mind this morning, and I you'll have to just bear with me a second, please. We're going to be in Luke this morning if you need to turn there already. There's one more little song. And Rachel, we sang it as kids. I don't know if we've sang it a whole lot around here. I'm having struggles getting this started. I know the chorus, but getting the verse, so I just start with the chorus. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Being D, fellas. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Ain't that a good song? That's good singing. I think what it is, these hoes over here got the blood flowing from my legs better, and I think maybe that might be it. I don't know, but I heard there's a couple little things in there. I used to sing it, is that it is well, it is well, and try to go up there even higher, but I don't think I can do that no more. Yeah, amen. Well, I can't sing like a girl like I used to. Sister Dawn said to me one time, she said, I just could never sing that high. And I said, Dawn, I used to sing higher. I won't go into detail how Uncle Steve taught me how to sing higher, but Rachel, I love you. It is well with my soul. Are y'all at Luke this morning? Luke chapter number 18, and I didn't get anything printed. I tell you what, y'all, I've been only doing what I have to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not one to stay on a couch, and I'm going stir crazy at this point. Miss Jamie said that she got irritated at me last night. She got tired of hearing me complain. I said, I'm tired of sitting in my chair. I'm tired of staring at the TV. I'm tired of reading this book. I'm tired of reading this. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of, what else was it, baby? I'm tired of my leg being up. And then it gets sore. Then I got to put it down. Then it gets sore. I'm tired of my being on ice. And I'm tired of wearing these hose. And I'm tired of, one more week, that's all for my left leg. My right leg is good. And, you know, I know it's for health. It's to keep from blood clotting and things like that. I understand that. But we move a lot. And you know, the best way to keep from blood clots is to move. Walk. That's the best way to do it. And by the way, everybody says, well, you're going to do too much. I'm just going to say to you right now, number one, you're not the genius you think you are. With a knee, you want to move it. The day of surgery, they have you up and walking on it. I had to walk those halls to get out of that. I had to go potty one time for them, and I did not want to. You know, you go under anesthesia, there's just, most body parts don't work after anesthesia. And them morons didn't quite understand that, I don't think. No, I tell you what, y'all down there at that Cedar, Red Cedar Surgical Center, some of the greatest in the medical field that I have ever met in my life. And 55 years. Of course, I ain't met a whole lot of people in the medical. No, I have. But the point is, those are some of the best folks in all the world. And probably what I ought to do, babe, maybe one day is y'all, me and you could just walk down there and go see them. I don't know when a good time is because they're busy all the time. There was one fellow that was a nurse back there. Y'all don't mind if I blow my nose in front of you, do you? Anyway, there was one feller that, and I wished I could remember his name. Do you remember his name? Katira was the one, Katiri. She was fantastic. Boy, smart. And you know what amazed me? Less than 40, able to carry on a conversation, had true compassion in her eyes, and cared. I was like, there's no way I met somebody under the age of 40 that has some great attributes to them, right? And I know it was shocking. And okay, there's a couple others. You guys are givens, okay? My word. They're going to sit over there. Hey, don't give me this. All right, brothers, listen to me. I saw one with a big coffee this morning, and he didn't bring me one. So, all right? So that's he didn't get you one either, Ray? Boy, I tell you what, we got to teach this boy better, don't we? It was a buy one, get one. All right, never mind. Can we get back to being spiritual? Can we? Yeah. All right, we'll worry about his transgression and sin later, all right? Well, where was I at? Red Cedar. Y'all, listen, there are, for every one bad apple in the medical world, there's a million good ones. Wouldn't you say? Maybe 10 million good ones. And I think we are. By the way, don't be a bad patient. Go in and be a good patient. I was. I think I was, wasn't I? Well, Dr. Mesko come in, and I said, Doc, I almost called you and told you, no, Dave, you need this. I said, I know, Doc, but I think what I'm worried about the whole process because I know what happens in this. He said, you need to stop studying everything. And you're probably right. I'm telling you, if y'all ever seen that it's on YouTube, there's a bunch of them on there. And I said, can we record mine? Because I'd really like to watch this back. But then again, I probably wouldn't. I would have liked to have seen it. You know, because I wonder how much bone they took out. That's what I, because I can feel it right now even. All right, we're done. Okay. Boy, that's kind of bad when the pastor's wife's got to correct the pastor, amen? Y'all, honestly, babe, it's working into the message. It really is. And I bring up a lot of things that happen in our life. Look at verse 17, and you'll understand here in just a moment of chapter 13. Luke 13, chapter and verse number 17. Luke 13, and Caden, could you make sure your daddy finds it? It's in the New Testament there. Okay, thank you, buddy. Luke chapter 13, verse number 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. He'd just done a great work in a woman's life. And everybody saw it. And they were yelling at him because it was on the Sabbath day. Well, who do you think you are, Jesus, upstaging us? That's all they was thinking about. Verse 17 again. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Now watch, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Y'all ever imagine all the glorious things God's done for you? For a moment, just for a moment, think of two things great that God's done for you. And you and I could go on and on and on and on for 2 years and still never mention everything that God's done for us. See, you know, I think where we struggle at as an adult, we forget to thank God for those that took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. And this particular moment was when you was born. To the minute that you could actually shower yourself. What is the normal age of a child who tries to bathe themselves and change their own clothes? Let's say 4 or 5 years old. All right? You know, I know at 2 and 3, they're trying their best. But when do they really are able? And I told Jamie this morning, I was able to shower myself. I'm so proud of you. I was. And I still had some trouble getting to my back, though. So Miss Jamie had to wash my back. And I love having a clean back. I don't know, it's weird. It's just, I'm weird, okay? Point is, have you ever been thankful to God for your mama changing your diaper? You know, Miss Dawn, it really hits home when you're right there at the casket. And the very one who made sure you lived when you couldn't take care of yourself is now gone. But not lost. We know her. Mama's up there correcting everybody in heaven. Beloved, the Lord Jesus has done so much for us. So he mentions this in verse number 18. Now watch. Then said he unto what is the... Then he said... And he's talking to his adversaries, and he's talking to all those who are rejoicing. Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? What is it? What is the kingdom of God? What is it? And what would I liken it to? So how would you best understand what the kingdom of God is? Then he goes on in verse number 19. He says this, number one, it is like a grain of mustard seed. So what do we know about the mustard seed? It's the smallest of all seeds. But it grows into a tree, a bush, and then into a tree. Watch this. It is a grain of a mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Okay? What do we know about the grain of a mustard seed? Well, here's what I know. Not only is it the smallest seed, but the second thing is, Lord Jesus makes mention that if our faith was as great as the mustard seed, we could move mountains. Wow. That's what the kingdom of God's like. And we'll get back to this, but there's some other dangers in this also. But what's the second thing we liken it to? Look at verse number 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now, there are two things that you would see in both these examples that would lead you to think what a lot of men think. We see the fowls of the air, which, by the way, in the scriptures, birds are either wicked or righteous. The dove of Noah is righteous. We are to be harmless as a dove, right? Where does the sparrow, and the songwriter talked about how the sparrow is fed. His eyes on a sparrow. So sparrow is important, correct? He used ravens, which are carnivorous birds, to take fresh meat to Elijah. But then in other accounts throughout the scripture, we see the fowls of the air, much like the devil and his little devils. Now, the men that use the word demon, if you want to use demon, I'm not going to beat you up, but the word demon means little gods. That's all. The word demon means does not mean devil. The word demon does not mean Satan. The word demon does not mean what the world and what you think it means. The word diamonos, the word that it comes from in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and all that means little G-O-D. That's what that means. Now, if you want to use the word demon, that's fine. I'm not going to throw you away. Just understand it. See, even, of course, the devil thinks he's a god. And the devils, the proper terminology is devils. These fowls of the air are pictures of Satan and the devils that fell, which is one third of the angelic host. That means there's a lot of them. And there are two things. The fowls of the air and now leaven. We don't want the leaven that'll leaven the whole lump. But in this passage, it can be both good and evil. And the reason why I bring that up is, in the scriptures, we see two different terms. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. Now, there are some that teach, I see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as both being the same. God is ruler of all. Now, there are some men that believe that if you want to teach it, I don't have a problem with this, but the word kingdom of heaven is heaven's glory itself. I don't have a problem with that. I personally don't think there are two different things at this point. There are two different places that we will go, either heaven or hell. That's very true. But if there are some good men, J. Vernon McGee being one of them, talked about how that the kingdom of God was everything encompassed, including the godly and the ungodly, whereas the kingdom of heaven is only the godly. If men and women want to teach that, that's fine. If you want to teach that, that's fine. There's really very little heresy that can come out of it, although there is some. I see this kingdom of God in two different ways. Not that there are two different places, but the kingdom of God is everything. The Bible tells us that the earth is his footstool and the heavens are his throne. Okay? So from this in mind, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God, number one, is the gospel. In this passage of this mustard, this tree, and then of the leaven that she puts into her bread, when Miss Jamie makes her rolls, and everybody in here's had her rolls, they start out really kind of small, and then they get so big and fluffy. Delicious, fluffy, right? That's a good word for that. Fluffy. They're amazing. Who in here doesn't like a good roll? Now, I will have to say it's got gluten in it, and it's got this and that, but somebody, it'll kill you. Yeah, but I'll die with a smile on my face. It'll take a mortician's 30 days to get that smile off my face. Amen. Oh, man. All them rolls, put more rolls on you, Brother Ray. That's exactly right. So you see, we can see this in both different ways. We can see it as different being for the kingdom of heaven, but we can also see it as being the good in the kingdom of God and the evil in the kingdom of God, with the fowls of the air and the leaven, or we can see it from the perspective of the gospel. This little seed that grows into this great big tree, that's the gospel. What's the gospel? The fact that Jesus Christ, Son of God, holy and righteous, the Son of God, God in the flesh, died on an old rugged cross. He had no sin in him. Died on a rugged cross. Was buried and arose again the third day. He shed his blood for us, Sister Dawn. Power in the blood. Thank God for the blood, as my dad would yell. Then also the leaven of the bread. Do we not also understand that in the Word of God, that the gospel is this fresh bread of life? I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you shall never hunger. And it's bread that's really good. I love Miss Jamie's roll. And I tell you, yesterday walking in the farmer's market, there was one lady, there homemade sourdough bread. Anybody in here don't like homemade sourdough bread? Well, praise the Lord, because I was going to point you out, because you got screw loose if you don't like homemade. No, maybe you don't. I don't know. But if I take a loaf of sourdough homemade, and we've sliced it up, and I put it in the microwave, and then I put some real butter. Amen? Right, Miss Margie? And by the way, I love the green. That green is beautiful. Thank you, ma'am. That blue is ugly. Brother Ray. I'm just kidding. Anyhow, you take that sourdough bread, warm it up a little bit, take your fresh, hallelujah, real butter. None of that margarine stuff. None of that plastic stuff, okay? And I can't believe how much country crock we used to eat, baby. Then you take it and you spread it. Doesn't it smell? Are y'all with me? Fresh bread, don't it smell good? There's some smells I enjoy. Fresh bread, popcorn. Fresh pizza smell. I'm trying to think of some other really good ones. Have you ever walked in a room and if somebody's baking it or cooking it, it just bam, right? Yeah, I mean, it hits your nostrils like a semi truck. Banana bread, that'd be another one. Yeah. But beloved, that's all are you listening? We can see the evil and we can see the good in this, but I think that's where we struggle, is we look too much at the evil rather than the good. It's easy for you to pick out 25 bad things in David. What's really hard about us is we forget about the other 50 to 100 great things that's good about David. And I've said to our parents, and I'll say to you, stop getting on your kids. Don't stop getting on your kids. Don't raise them, raise them, raise them, raise them, raise them right. But stop getting on them for the 3 or 4 things they do wrong, and get and pat them on the back and love on them for the 15, 20 things they do right. We're so quick to beat each other up. And our problem is human nature loves to stomp on others so they can get to the next rung above. I'm better than you. Look, I'm not a Wolverine fan, so I'm already better. My Hoosiers didn't make it, but the Wolverines did, so I'm just going to shut up. I ain't got no... And the Spartans, look, they're going to win it. They're going to win it. But do you see what the Lord's point here? What do I liken the kingdom of God to? Lord Jesus knows that in this world there's both evil and good. What is the gospel? It is the good news. What are we normally attracted to? the bad news. Every one of us go by an accident and want to see if we see a mangled body. Now, there are some in the room, like my precious wife, that looks the other way. Not me. Y'all rubberneck, and you know exactly what I mean by that. I do too. As soon as I see a flashing light or hear a siren, oh, Lord God, please help them. You never know. It could be a best friend. May neighbor. Y'all, are y'all with me on this? So in this, what do we liken the kingdom of God to? Well, let me tell you, the kingdom of God, the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Eternal life. I want to look at the tree that would give those birds a home. I want to look at the bread that she puts that leaven in and then cooks it up and you can smell it. Can you imagine? Now, this is just the way David thinks, but could you imagine goat butter? I've had butter that's made from goat's milk. Have y'all ever had that? Oh, yeah. It's really, really goat cheese. And by the way, goat milk. By the way, goat milk is better for you than cow milk. See, cow milk was meant to take a 50-pound steer or, excuse me, a 50-pound calf and turn it into a 300, 400-pound cattle. You all realize that, right? Milk's really not that. Well, this pasteurized stuff definitely ain't no good for us. Beloved, the gospel is good. Eternal life is good. Now, I'm not pointing it out to you that we ought to not talk about hell. Hell's real. I've had many men say it in certain ways that I don't appreciate it. But basically what they said was that God used the word of God to scare them from hell, that they might be saved and have heaven as their home. Does that make sense? I have no problem with preaching on hell. And the way I preach it is please don't go there. You have a choice. You can either ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, or you can reject him and go to hell. That's just the truth. But in the kingdom of God, you have hope. There is misery, but there's hope and there's help. Within the kingdom of God, there's eternal peace. There's joy unspeakable. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. Within the kingdom of God, the opposite of the world's answers and the remedies. See, the Lord God would use that mustard seed, that little bitty seed, to make a tree to give some birds a home. Shade in the heat. To take that bread and give it to a starving person. And I'm going to tell you, beloved, I am so, so irritated this morning at the corruption of our politicians. Before you go to believe in anything else, and by the way, this is not even a part of the message, it's something the Lord just brought up, thinking about bread. This USAID thing that's come up, a terrible slush fund for corrupt, evil people. Now, I am not going to stand here and tell you that every Democrat's evil. Every human being's evil. Including you and me. Me and you. How's that? I'll say me first, then you. Including me and you. Now, I kind of like you and me better. Anyhow, it is amazing to me of the corruption. Yes, there is evil in the kingdom of God. But it's not done by God. It's done by the evil black heart of men and women. This thing, and I don't know what you're listening to, and if you're not, by the way, the astronauts said thank you to President Trump and Elon Musk for coming to get them. It was on a couple of the conservative, middle of the road type of place. You never heard it on ABC, NBC, CBS. Did anybody even know there were astronauts in space that were left there by Biden and Harris? See, a lot of people didn't even know about that because they don't get the truth. Unfortunately, they don't get the good news because the devil and his crowd, these fowls of the air, hey, listen, they want to keep the truth out of them. That's why they even go by when the seed's planted, they swoop down in there and get that seed before it can grow into anything. Astronaut said thank you. Seen yesterday within our news also, that there was a vineyard out in California that was given $14 million by this USAID. I thought it was supposed to go outside and help the ones that had nothing. Isn't that what it's supposed to be for? $14 million. Miss Catherine, what would you do with $14 million? Exactly. You know who it went to? A vineyard that was being built by Nancy Pelosi and her husband. They have factual information. You know the worst part about what Elon Musk and them are doing? The worst part about it is the hatred that people are going to have for other people like Nancy Pelosi. Because I don't ever condone hatred. I don't want to hate the sinner. I want to be like God and love the sinner. And hate the sin. Amen. So this kingdom of God's got both of it in it. But we need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do it opposite of what the world's answers and what the world's remedies are. Oh, look at all them nasty birds up there. We ought to cut that tree down. Man, don't you know what that tree's doing? That tree is giving a home to the birds and it's giving shade in the heat. Well, that bread, and I can hear a Jewish zealot, Judaizer, saying this, oh, that's terrible bread. It's got leaven in it. What's leaven? The yeast to cause it to rise. Right? And God even told them in their feast they weren't supposed to use it. But what they were to do, they used it otherwise. Listen, beloved, I don't know if you know this or not, but in some of the Jewish breads, they have yeast in them. They're not all flat bread. But there were certain times, and first certain festivals and certain times of worship of God, they had to get all the leaven out. And that illustration, by the way, in the Old Testament, the word leaven there is a picture of sin. How that it puffeth up, right? Arrogance. How it gets big so it feeds, it can create gluttony. And then those two together create nothing but laziness. And those were the three sins of Sodom. With that in mind, the world and its remedies always destroy. It always mocks. Isn't that what they did? How dare you heal this woman on the Sabbath day? I don't know about you, but somebody get a healing, I'm going to praise hallelujah, glory King Jesus, and then I'm going to be a rah-rah a cheerleader for the one getting some help. Because you never know. You know, being a rah-rah cheerleader, sis goomba, or whatever you want to do. No, Brother Ray, we're not wearing mini skirts like them cheerleaders do, amen? But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be a cheerleader for them, because you never know. Something might happen for you, too. I'd love to see, Sister Karis isn't here this morning. When Sister Karis isn't here, she's hurting so bad she can't get out of bed. I pray that we have Sister Karis for a while, but sometimes I wonder how much longer she'll be around. I'm just being honest, and I've told her that. So we better love her every chance we get. But the world and its remedies, they always destroy. They always mock. Remember how that they were ashamed there? Well, what were they doing previous to that? How dare you? I don't know about y'all, but I want God to do. I don't care what day of the week it is. Well, what kind of miracles you want? All of them. And when would you like them? On every day that ends with Y. Amen. Amen. Oh, isn't it crazy? And the world, not only does it the world always destroy, but it always mocks. And hey, it always abandons. The worst hurt in the ministry for me and for Jamie has been people that look you square in the face and they say they love you, they say they're with you, they say this and they say that, and they're the first ones to abandon you. Amen. Many of you know that over the years of all the abandonment that we've had around here. A lot of people that talk the talk, but they sure definitely didn't walk the walk. And then they go off to other places and other ministries and they try to portray themselves as great spiritual people when in reality they're nothing but the fowls of the air. They are the leaven in an unrighteous way. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I've seen some things and unless there's true repentance, that individual's wrong. They're wicked. But I see so many others that don't hold them to being repentant. I have had one in particular right in here, right there on that bench, say to me, this gentleman is trying to make it right with me. We sat down there, and the first thing he said to me was, first thing, I don't want you saying, I told you so. Guess what that does to this smart aleck? This smart, you know what? Hello? I'm going to put that in the back of my brain because that now has become the first thing I'm going to say. And then, now, Lord Jesus, help me say it in the right way. I didn't pray one time, help me not to say it. Lord, forgive me. There was no true repentance there. None. How do I know that? Because the things that got back to me that were said. See, the devil does that just to gnaw at you. You're sitting there eating that fresh bread. And you're feeling the shade of that tree. That the smallest of all seeds made something that would take some heat off of me. And then there's some idiot come along and want to mock it. Hey, by the way, that happens in the ministry. Beloved, all I can do is take care of you and I here together. But I am so irritated and so aggravated, Brother Josh, the more and more I hear of the absolute foolishness, just meanness that's in the pulpit today. With a pastor, and he told me that another pastor had been with them, and they had gone up to visit a family. She had just had a miscarriage and almost lost her life. And they went up there and they said hello, and it's going to be cordial. Now, what would you say or not say to a family that's just went through a very traumatic event like that, especially a family that's having a hard time having children anyway, and she has her fourth or fifth miscarriage, and you would think there's some things and some places you just don't even go to, right? The pastor told me that this other preacher said that was trying to sit there and, you know, try to say something or being, and he should have just kept his mouth shut and just, have y'all, those of us who like to talk a lot, have you ever been in a situation where you wish you'd just shut your mouth? Raise both our hands, right? I was looking at Bensie. No, I'm just kidding. No. This preacher said to that little family, well, that's God's way of maybe taking away a serial killer. And I don't remember what else was said, a thief. And would you say that to a little mama? No, ma'am, I'm not. And Jamie, you knew who I'm talking about. Jamie will back it up. We're down in Pensacola. And that preacher, well, this is might have been God's way of just keeping another killer, another serial killer out of the world. But that's what happens when you don't let the Word of God change your heart. This is what happens when you don't eat the bread of life. Y'all listening, please, this morning. Especially when you start changing the Word of God, making it fit what you want. The world and its remedies, the remedies of the flesh. We are all bad about this. And I'm probably the worst one in the room. If there's a problem, immediately. That's better. Immediately, I want to fix the problem. You know the worst thing you can do in counseling? And for those of us that like to talk a lot, this is a problem that you have that you got to deal with. Somebody comes to you and they're sharing their heart with you and they want to just talk a minute. They need some counseling. And you're sitting there not listening, formulating an answer as they're talking. You're an idiot. Pastor Shetler, my pastor, my dad didn't do a very good job of it, but they all told me, and there's been other men and women in my life that have said this, David, when you speak to someone, you don't think about anything, but you listen to every word they say. And then when you're doing that, you don't try to formulate an answer, but you make them feel like they're the most important person on earth at that moment, that there's nobody else. And I'm going to tell you what, friends, that makes a difference. That makes a difference. That's why a lot of times I will say, and just a moment ago, Miss Margie, you listening? That's a beautiful green. I wanted to get her attention. You know why? Sometimes we don't have our full attention. Well, that's one of the good things. And the world thinks they do, but they don't. And they abandon you. They mock you. So here with this kingdom of God, there's both good and bad. But why can't we see the tree for the shade and the home to the birds? Why can't we see this leaven and this bread as to filling us up? The Lord Jesus in the gospel always brings three things. Number one, the Lord Jesus in the gospel here in this kingdom of God always brings, number one, growth. The mustard seed into a tree. The bread into the body. Lord, thank you for this bread. Jamie, I don't know if you noticed it. We were at Dick's Sporting Goods, and Matthias got him another ball. Just what did he need it? And we're walking out, and I had to sit out there a minute, and Jamie and Matthias, they come walking out, and I used the elevator. I didn't use the escalator. I didn't use stairs, although those are next in line to use because I got to get this knee working better. I know it's in the coming days. I understand that. But we'd gone up the elevator and down, and I got a little bit winded and tired in there, and so I went out and sat in the food court there, sitting right on the edge so I can see him come out the door. So Jamie comes along, and they help me up out of my chair, and we're walking, and I don't know if you saw this or not. Jamie's on my left, and all the food's here, and there's a couple right here. And they both have their eyes closed, and he's praying. I wish now I'd have said something. I should have. That blessed my heart. Whoa, are they believers? Sure looks like it. Oh, they might have been Seventh-day Adventists. I don't care at this point. Because they're sitting there in a food court full of sinners praying before a righteous God. Why do you know they weren't Muslim? I don't know that. But I can tell you right now, he was praying a pretty good prayer. We get so much trouble in looking at the wrong and the evil and the wicked, and we always look at the bad instead of looking at the good. Amen. It is 12:05 and 42 degrees. Brother Ray says, would you hurry up because I'm hungry? And Bensie's saying, I need to take a nap. Yeah. Brother Josh says, I'm hungry and need a nap. It's cloudy outside in the state of Michigan. Imagine that. But we did have two really good days. Sunlight, glory, hallelujah. Now we're in for another 25 days of gloom. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what's really good? There's no snow in the forecast. We always look at the bad rather than the good. There's some great things. Kyle does a great job playing the guitar. Man, just bang on it. Nobody going to know whether you make a mistake or not but me and you. And I'm just going to laugh. Because, you know, I never make any mistakes. Mr. Bigby. It brings growth. By the way, you allowing God to work in your life helps me grow. There are days and times in my life that I feel like I'm done pastoring. And don't tell me you don't feel that about your job and where you're at. So don't tell me that. And you know why? Probably the hardest thing in life for me, preaching's not the problem. I could talk forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't have to be so... It's the good thing, Pastor David, it's a good thing. I hear you. The hardest part for me is watching y'all go through struggles and pains that are there because God wants them there. And even the ones that you self-inflict. How many times you self-inflict a broken toe in your spiritual life? Y'all know what I mean? Sure didn't mean to stub your toe on that door, but it happened. And that's what happens in our Christian walk. The Lord Jesus in the gospel always brings growth. But it also brings life. death. Now, the remedies of the world and the world's answers, they always bring death. I mean, much like what we're finding out, and I know everybody in America is really excited, the fact that they're finding all this waste and corruption, but I'm going to tell you what, beloved, we need to be praying for God's mercy and His grace and compassion, because I'll tell you what's going to happen is that'll lead to a bloodbath.
That's right.
Where people start slicing each other's throats over that stuff. You've got the one gentleman that stood up during the presidential address and without having any respect for Americans, for America herself, or even the President of the United States, whom God has made her. Look, Joe Biden is not a hero of mine, but he was God's man. The same with Barack Obama, Bill Clinton. You say what you want about these men. Every one of them had a fault. Ronald Reagan, my hero. He didn't do away with the Board of Education like he said he was going to. He did do a couple foolish things, and who knows about the Iran-Contra thing. Who knows about all that stuff? Only God knows the truth. But we don't have a right to destroy. And that's what's going to happen. And everybody now is looking for a $5,000 stimulus check. Or they're looking for this. What happens if it doesn't come? Then you're just going to be mad at them. You see how it breeds ignorance and it breeds anger and it brings stupidity? We've already, listen, you and I already know there's corruption. And they've taken your money. You know what they've done? They've gone down into their print shop and printed as many bills and whatever denominations they want to stick in their pocket. And all of them got ink on their fingers and ink on their clothes. You know why? Because they're doing it before the printed sheet is dry. We already knew that's going to happen. Well, we ought not have. Then go to God in prayer about it. And then go vote with the Bible on your heart rather than what the union told you or what the newscast told you or what your wicked heart thinks. Always brings life. Listen, the opposite is bringing death. And one last thing, beloved, and please forgive me, but one last thing about this is the fact that it always brings hope. Part of me is excited about what I'm seeing in our world. On a couple newscasts and some things I'd seen on YouTube, when President Trump they knew he was elected, the room of his supporters and the room of a lot of his staff broke out into singing, "Oh Lord our God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds I have, at how great thou art," right? "How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God." They started singing praises. Blessed assurance. Well, I wonder if they're Independent Baptist. Well, I wonder if they're Presbyterian. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Presbyterian folk can be a little bit, you know, on the dull side. But there's some things that God does for people cause a Presbyterian to shout glory hallelujah. Are y'all with me? The devil hates anything of God. The devil loves death. His crowd loves destruction and corruption. But thank God for the truth of the gospel. Thank God for the truth of life. Thank God for the truth of hope. Thank God for the truth of grace. Thank God for the truth of mercy. Thank God for God.
Amen.
Well, but Josh, I did the best I could on that one. Because there's a lot of people asking, what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, nothing. They're the same.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to teach, God's overall. Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Amen.
The risen Savior.
Amen.
And I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Oh,
and there's a whole bunch of other sinners out there that need to be saved by grace.
Amen.
Well, what? Leave it alone. Well, I know that believer. You know what? That believer smokes cigarettes still. Oh, yeah? Well, you eat the whole package of cookies in one sitting. I'm not wicked. Yeah, that's why you can barely get up and downstairs. By the way, as you get older, going up and downstairs, they're hard to do. Miss Margie does a good job. Mr. Joe do a good job. But you know, there's some young people that can't get up and downstairs because they're too fat. They're too out of shape. I know some preachers where they're as wicked as a whore or a harlot. I don't care what words you use, it's all biblical. Or a whoremonger. I know some preachers that are more wicked. And all they want to do is look at the bad. Hey, this morning, I've been standing now for over 2 hours. I don't even know I got a hurt knee right now until I go to get down. Hey, in the last couple hours, we learned that, well, Jesus is alive. In the last couple hours, we had Sunday school this morning. And I love that green that Sister Margie's wearing. It helps me. You know, it does. The bright colors. I'm a color guy. I mean, that's why I wore some. I had one preacher. Look at this. You know what he said this was? It looked like my jungle. I look like a jungle. I said, okay, who's the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I tell you, J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he's the very best. You know what, beloved? And I've been there. And please forgive me. We ought to live in the kingdom of God in such a manner that we bring shade in the heat and a home to the birds. We ought to be that believer that brings fresh bread of Jesus Christ to the hungry, hurting souls.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your kingdom and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. God's working on your heart. I don't know what he's working on, but you know. And if God's working on your heart, beloved, would you let him? As we open this invitation time, God's working on your heart. That old-fashioned altar's open.